Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now, or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile, and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Banner civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
That's going to do it as the Miami Heat with a season series sweep. They win their 50th game of the year. Billy Donovan walks midcourt. Derek Spoelstra, very, very good friends. And the final score here at the United Center, 127-109 Miami.
Highlight courtesy of The Score, Chuck on the call. That means that as of now, the Bulls have a 2-19 record against the top four teams from each conference. It's not good. It's pretty bad. Cody Westerling covers the Bulls for us. The Bulls have got a lot of games against good teams, or at least two games against really good teams back-to-back. Starting tonight, you can hear the Bulls-Bucks game here on The Score starting at 6:45. Cody joins me on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline. Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Cody, thank you so much for joining me. The first thing I want to ask you is, what's the health status of the Bulls right now?
Well, Zach LaVine went from probable to questionable to play tonight as he manages his left knee soreness, and with it being a back-to-back and the Bulls being one win away or one Cavaliers loss away from at least clinching a playoff berth. And when we say playoff berth, we mean a top six seed, at least the number six seed right now. You could see Zach sitting out tonight or tomorrow. It sounds like that's a decision that will obviously be made closer to tip-off tonight. Lonzo Ball, we'll have to wait and get an update from Billy Donovan this evening. But at last notice, at last news, he had not ramped up to sprinting that we knew of yet or full speed cutting and such, which means he's still likely not going to return at all this season unless something miraculously changes here today or in the next couple days.
What about Alex Caruso's back?
Yeah, that's been ailing him and bothering him lately, and he hasn't even landed on the injury list with the back injury, but it's something that caused him to ask out of the game in the third quarter of the loss to the Heat on Saturday night at the United Center. You've seen him with heat packs on the sidelines. You've seen him staying and standing up on the sideline instead of sitting down in chairs like he would usually do. So that's something that's bothering him. He's described it as tightness more so than pain. But obviously a back contusion, when you get banged up and bruised, running into screens, diving on the floor. We see him dive on the floor all the time. We see him run into dozens of screens a game or narrowly avoid big collisions and such. So he's probably going to be managed on a minute's workload as well, depending on how he feels throughout the course of every game here as the Bulls go down the stretch with four regular season games left. And if it's a blowout or if the game doesn't matter that much for playoff seeding, which could be the case in some of these down the stretch, you could see the Bulls resting him a game or giving him a smaller workload. But he seems like a guy that he's never going to ask out in a game that's close in the fourth quarter or anything, but sometimes the writing's on the wall and you're going to lose a game or something, and the Bulls will want to relax his workload a little bit if they can.
looking at the way the standings go, you have Miami and Boston at the top of the Eastern Conference. Milwaukee has been sitting in that third spot for forever. Philadelphia and them are tied. Then you've got the Bulls and the Raptors. If you're looking at the squads that are in the top four, is there a matchup that's better than the other matchups for the Bulls in your estimation?
Well, I still think the Celtics would be the most favorable of the reasonable matchups for the Bulls at this point. And that's because I don't think the Bulls have beaten the Giannis-led Bucks since like 2017. So Giannis just absolutely owns the Bulls. We know the same is true for Joel Embiid. When he's out there healthy with the 76ers, the Bulls have never beaten him as well. Now, with Harden struggling for long stretches, especially in big games and spotlight games like the playoffs will be, I think the Bulls have enough defenders to run at Harden that I don't think the Philadelphia offense outside of Embiid is a huge concern. But when you're looking at the Celtics being more of a little bit backcourt or wing-oriented team rather than a center-based team like the 76ers, I think they're a little bit better matchup for the Bulls. Robert Williams obviously will be out for the first round of the playoffs too, and he's the anchor of that defense. And you've seen the Celtics struggle a little bit more since he went down with his injury. So I would guess if you had to put some truth serum in the Bulls that they would probably pick the Celtics. It's a team we'll see at the United Center on Wednesday night. They're 1-1 against the Celtics this year. They lost by 2 in Boston in a game they didn't have Lonzo Ball. They didn't have Zach LaVine. So they've played the Celtics better than they've played any of these other top teams. And no matter what they say, Zach LaVine is really fierce in his comments after almost every game. Like, even though we're not beating these good teams, we feel like come a playoff moment, if we get it together, we'll be fine. The past does not matter in his mind. But I think if you ask the Bulls, they'd rather play a team they've had a little bit of success against rather than a team that really has been a monster for them that they really haven't beaten. And that's been the case with the Heat, the Bucks, and the 76ers this year for them.
When I look at the Bucks, obviously you start with Giannis. But I swear, Cody, in the games against the Bulls, as much as it's been Giannis, it's been Drew Holiday that the Bulls have struggled against.
It's just been a magnificent acquisition for the Bucks all around, and they gave up a ton of draft capital to New Orleans to get him, and he's a huge reason they won the NBA title. And he hit some tough shots against the Bulls last time. And the other thing is he's always going to make life difficult on Zach LaVine or DeMar DeRozan, whichever one he guard at various times on the court, because Drew is so strong that – I mean, he's not scared to even get mismatched in the post against other team centers because it's really not a mismatch in any way. Like, he's a brick down there. It's hard to move him, and he has a lateral quickness and smarts and ability to read the game really well that he can take an entire opposing elite scorer out of their game. Doesn't mean they're going to score 5 points in the game, but usually they don't get their 20, 25 points efficiently. And that's really all the Bucks need, given how good they are with Giannis and everywhere else on the floor, that if they can take away one of your best options and make you struggle a little bit, it's going to be a really uphill climb. He's been awesome. It's why, big reason why I don't think the Bulls would have any chance against the Bucks in a playoff setting, in addition to obviously the biggest problem in the NBA is probably the Giannis problem for every team, and specifically the Bulls. But Holiday's just been absolutely awesome for the Bucks when they need him in big moments.
I've enjoyed being wrong about Patrick Williams. I've enjoyed watching him over the last couple of games go out there and defend the rim, to take on big assignments defensively, and be aggressive enough on offense. What are the Bulls saying about what he's done so far and what they think he can do going forward?
Well, they like his energy a lot more lately in these past few games, just what he's brought them. I think when they say energy too, like, I feel like they mean rebounding and defense. And specifically to me, a lot of times his defense means weak side help or how he's playing off the ball. And they like that a lot more, because say what you want, like, he is still not being offensively in any way, shape, or form. I know he hit the big shots against the Clippers in an overtime win, but he only shot 4 shots in that game. So they want him to be more aggressive offensively. They still don't think he's doing enough with his mindset and aggressiveness on that end. But by way of feeling him, and that's kind of just something that's a hard concept to understand sometimes, you know, because what does it mean? Does it mean racking up rebounds? Does it mean banging into people? Does it mean the other team going away from you because they're scared? But just the force of him as a player has been better in past games, where he's been a difference maker at the rim, on defense, getting in the mix offensive rebounding, or getting contested rebounds on defense. That's been better in the last three games. You saw him block Tyler Hero at the rim a couple times on help defense recently. In the Bulls' loss to the Heat, on one of the plays, he ran to the other end and finished really well in traffic. Like, from him, that's what they like from him. They think he's done that better in the last three games, but it's still a case where, like, Billy Donovan's having to remind Patrick Williams at halftime of games, hey, you got to do this more aggressively. You need to be here. You need to make this person feel you and help defense and recover to your other guy. So it's not something that's instinctive yet. Instinctive is a word that Billy Donovan recently used when referencing Patrick Williams in comments, and they want him to instinctively be aggressive rather than them forcing him to be aggressive, and he's not there yet. And second-year guy really only has 1 year of experience games-wise in the NBA because of that long-term wrist injury this year. So they need to get him there sometimes. I don't think that's something, if you don't have it, it's something that's not instilled overnight. So that's going to be a long-term project for the Bulls, is getting him to be more aggressive. But they've taken baby steps the last few games, and that's a really good sign. And I think it's really important because he's doing enough where he deserves more minutes, more rotation minutes, whether they end up putting him in the lineup or not, that he can get that playoff feel and setting. Like, if he's providing you nothing, you can't play him in the playoffs, right? And it's really important for him to play in the playoffs this year, I think, in my opinion, in your opinion, in the Bulls' opinion. And he's doing enough now where he should get heavy rotation minutes in playoff settings and really learn a lot here.
Cody, as always, I appreciate the time. I'm looking forward to tonight's game to see where the Bulls are at. Talk to you soon. Thank you so much.
Yep, you take care.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day.
And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.